Good morning, me again. I think we'll get an update on Pastor Ram afterwards, and help us in our praying for him. We're going to look together into God's Word this morning, Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, page 1615 in the Bibles here. It's Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Let's pray together and ask God to help us to hear His word. Lord Jesus, I thank you for bringing us together. I thank you for loving your church and giving us your spirit. Thank you for your spirit in our midst to encourage us, to mold us, to shape our lives, to draw us closer to yourself, and also to help us to love each other. I pray that this morning you will work in us, show us those areas in our lives where we need to turn from our self-centeredness, our self-directed living, and we need to embrace and love you more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever feel like you're too busy? Does it ever seem like you're being pulled in all sorts of directions? You know, is your life really frenetic and fragmented? Or are you the kind of person who who likes being busy, and in fact, you don't know what to do with yourself if you don't have something to do? You know, we're all wired a little bit differently. We all feel the pressure and the stress in different ways. You know, I don't think it's always a bad thing to be busy, but in the midst of our hectic lives, we can be caught up in so many urgent things. We can be caught up in many good things, that we kind of lose sight of what is the most important thing. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, there's this very short narrative which speaks really quite powerfully to this issue. The story revolves around a visit that Jesus makes to the home of two sisters, Martha and Mary. And these two women respond very differently to the presence of Jesus in their home. And I think we can learn some valuable lessons from them about what matters most as we juggle the many demands, the many pressures and stresses upon our time and upon our energy. Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." In the account, Martha is very busy while Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. And notice in verse 42 that it is Mary's fellowship with Jesus that's commended. Few things are needed, indeed only one. The one essential thing is to be in the presence of Jesus and to learn from him. We're going to look at that this morning. But before we do that, I want you to look at this story in its literary context, in the context that Luke puts it into. It follows after the message we looked at last week, where Jesus tells the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And that parable is an illustration of loving your neighbor. Through that parable, we learn that authentic love feels compassion for people. That authentic love translates that compassion into personal care for those who are in need. But you know what? God doesn't want us to simply add love your neighbor as another line on our to-do list, right? wash the dishes, clean house, or for guys, you know, mow the lawn, do the dishes, and love your neighbor. Item number three. That's not the idea of what Jesus wants us to do. What the present story of Martha and Mary reminds us of is that loving our neighbor is not something we pursue apart from, in isolation from, our relationship with God. In fact, quite the opposite needs to happen. The horizontal has to flow out of the vertical. Our fellowship and communion with Jesus has to inform and sustain our love for others. So as we sit at the feet of Jesus, as it were, and we listen to him, he equips us and he enables us to practice authentic love for our neighbor. Writer Matt Perman says it like this: do indeed be radical in doing good, just like the Good Samaritan. But don't take this to mean that you should be scrambling around frantically, overcommitting yourself, and becoming overbusy. We ought to sacrifice and endure hardship, but don't let your service to others distract you from the ultimate reason for your service, which is Jesus himself. And with that understanding of the context, what I want us to do is learn from Martha and Mary about what distracts us from our fellowship with Jesus and how to cultivate a heart of devotion, a spirit of devotion to him. First of all, Martha's distraction. Verse 38 provides the setting for our story. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Martha was likely the older sister in the family. She bore the responsibility of hosting guests in the home, and here she does the hospitable thing, right? She does the thing that when Jesus and his disciples arrive in town, that is expected of her in that culture. She opens her home and welcomes them in. But it's not just something she does out of duty. This is something that she wants to do because these are her friends, right? Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus are friends of Jesus, and so she's happy to open her home to them. But think of the responsibilities that go along with that, right? Because she's opened her home, what does she have to do? We're not told all the things that were on her to-do list, but, you know, I can imagine that she had to clean house, that she had to plan the meal, that she had to prepare the food, that she had to serve her guests. And it wasn't a small guest list, right? There were at least 13 hungry men who had been on the road all day coming to her house, if not more. And so there would have been a lot of work to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. Right? I think too often we're hard on the Marthas of the world because they're hardworking and they're responsible. But being busy is not a sin. Right? Being busy is not a sin. God is not against productivity. God wants us to get things done. The Bible commends faithfulness and hard work. The Bible condemns idleness and laziness. And in that light, Martha shouldn't be dishonored for her sense of responsibility and her commitment to care for her guests. The problem with Martha is not that she's busy. The problem lies deeper than that. Verse 40 says that Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. That word distracted has the idea of being pulled or dragged away. It's the idea that Jesus has come to Martha's house, and maybe Martha wants to spend time with him, but her attention is drawn away by everything that needs to get done. She's concerned about how much longer does the lamb have to cook. She's concerned about, you know, is there enough bread for everyone? She's concerned about, you know, who's going to set the table? And so on and so on and so on. And you know what that's like, There's just so many things. Down in verse 41, Jesus diagnoses the problem of her heart. He says that she's worried and upset about many things. She's stressed out and overburdened by her long list of responsibilities. Do you ever feel like that? Does life ever just kind of over seem to overwhelm you? Where you just can't let go, you just can't sit back, your mind won't shut off because there's just one more detail that needs to be looked after. You know, just, and there's just one more thing that has to be taken care of. Most of us have experienced the stress of having more to do than we can handle. And you know what? Sometimes that just comes with the territory of having to meet a deadline, you know, at work. Or sometimes that just comes with the territory of fulfilling a commitment. You said you'd do something, and you're going to fulfill that commitment. It means that there's going to be a little bit extra work involved. Sometimes it just comes with the territory. But that's exactly when we have to be alert to the danger to our soul. It's often when our plate is full that our heart and our mind and our energy gets pulled away. It's pulled away in many directions. And we become fragmented. We begin to stew about all the things that have to get done. We feel overwhelmed by the demands on us. And in the process, we lose sight of what's most important. We can't really focus on what really matters because of our hectic schedule. So what happens when we get distracted from our fellowship with Jesus? Verse 39 tells us that Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. In contrast to Martha, Mary is not busy with preparations for the guests. And to be fair to Mary, it's possible to read this text so it says that she was helping with the preparations, but then she took time to sit and listen to Jesus. Or it may be that she was being a good host and she was washing the feet of the various individuals and she was washing Jesus' feet, but then she just never got up. As one preacher says, Jesus began to speak and she was captivated by his words. Martha, however, wasn't too happy about that. While she was feeling overwhelmed by, you know, everything that she had to do, all the kitchen duties, her sister is just sitting there doing nothing. Or so it seems to her, right? Here's this description of what the scene might have been like. I find this a little bit humorous. You know, at first, Martha probably tried to hint in a subtle way that she needed help by making extra noise. Maybe moving some pots and pans around with a little more vigor than the situation really required. And then by letting some utensils or cookware clatter together loudly in a wash basin. Martha might have cleared her throat or exhaled a few times loudly enough to be heard in the next room. Anything to remind Mary that her sister was expecting a little help. And when all of that failed, Martha probably tried to peek around the corner or walk briskly through the dining room, hoping to catch Mary's eye. I can identify with that. It sounds like something that I might do. But all of Martha's hints go unheeded. Nothing happens. And so she becomes more and more exasperated that, you know, I'm left to do all this work by myself. And she becomes more and more irritated with her sister for not helping. And eventually, it boils over And she barges into the room, and in front of everyone, she says to Jesus, she complains to Jesus, verse 40, the last part of him, she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." It's often in outbursts like these that we begin to catch a glimpse of what's going on in a person's heart. We probably have to read between the lines a little bit here. But I think we can infer from what's going on here that, that Martha is now feeling the pressure of cultural expectations, and she's feeling the potential shame of not providing good hospitality. Martha no doubt opened her home with the best of intentions. She wanted to serve the Lord in a very practical way. That's a good thing, right? That's a very good thing. She has a servant's heart. But at some point in this servant's heart of her, all the pressures of her responsibility come to a point where they turn into a self-centered concern that her effort isn't good enough. And that's when her act of serving her guests becomes selfish. And we see that boil to the surface in her demands of Mary. "My sister has left me. Tell her to help me." And love for others changes to a concern for me. We are all like Martha. Life is busy. Life is sometimes very busy. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But we become pulled apart by our many responsibilities. And often we're tempted to measure our worth by what we accomplish. We're tempted to measure our worth by how well we meet other people's expectations. And so we become worried and we become upset when the demands on our time and the demands on our energy and the demand on our resources overwhelm us. And the result is anger and jealousy and resentment and distrust and criticism of other people who we perceive are blocking us from our goal. We may start off loving other people. We may start off with the best of intentions, but when we're distracted from focusing on Jesus, our motives shift back on ourselves, and we become more concerned about looking good ourselves than loving our neighbor. We become so distracted that we even come to this point where we want God to prove his love for us by helping us reach our goals. "Lord, don't you care?" Martha said. "Don't you care?" And what we need is a different perspective on life. And for that, we turn to Mary and her devotion to Jesus. When Martha demanded that Jesus make Mary help her with the meal, she was sure that Jesus would see things her way. That question, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?" That question is framed in such a way that it expects a positive answer. She expects Jesus to see things her way. You see, in that culture, in that first century culture, Martha was not the person out of step. What Martha was doing was not strange in that culture. What was strange was what Mary was doing. What was strange was Mary sitting there and listening instead of helping. And so Jesus' response to Martha is truly remarkable, because it just goes so against that culture, so against the grain. Verse 41, 42, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Some scholars suggest that when Jesus says, "few things are needed," what he's talking about is the meal. In other words, he's telling Martha, "listen, Martha, all we need are a few dishes." In other words, he's saying, "listen, we don't need an elaborate meal. All we need is a simple meal here, so that there's time, so that there's opportunity for that one thing that is essential." And that's what Mary has chosen to do: sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his teaching. Martha has been too distracted for that. She's been too worried and upset by the many things to do the one thing, to receive the word of Jesus. I like how a teacher named Kenneth Bailey puts this. He says, in context, Jesus' answer communicates the following: "Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things. I understand the entire list. One thing is needed. What is missing is not one more plate of food, but rather for you to understand that I'm providing the meal and that your sister has already chosen the good portion. I will not allow you to take it from her. A good student is more important to me than a good meal." That's what the kingdom of God is. That's what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is not a constant pace of frenetic activity and doing things for God. The kingdom of God is not frantic effort to earn God's acceptance or to display our good works for everyone to see. You know, in our culture, we're often performance-driven. Performance-driven even in the church. Performance-driven even in the name of Jesus and for the sake of the kingdom. We celebrate achievement. We're tempted to do more because that's where the adrenaline rush is. Or that's where we think the glory comes from. Or simply because we're afraid to say no to the other person. And so we do more and more. We take more and more on our plate. And conversely, sometimes we feel guilty because we're just sitting around and not doing anything. But in God's kingdom, we are taught to prize fellowship with Jesus. We're invited to listen to Jesus and draw strength from his truth. We're called to be still in the Lord's presence and to hear his teaching. We are reminded that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is not dependent on our ministry to him. But we are dependent on Jesus' ministry to us. Being with Jesus comes before doing for Jesus. What does that look like? What does that mean at a practical level? I think one thing it means is that we need to be serious about filling our heart and our mind with the scriptures, to read and to listen to and to study the Bible on a regular, even daily basis. I want to be careful here because I don't want you to think of this as, okay, let me just add another item on my schedule, right? What was it? Do the dishes? Mow the lawn, do the dishes, love your neighbor, read the Bible. Right? We're not just going to add another item on our to-do list. We're not just going to check off another task. We're not just going to complete another day on our Bible reading plan. What Jesus wants us to do is to adopt a posture and an attitude of hearing him and to draw sustenance from his word. That's what discipleship looks like. Why do we need to draw sustenance from God's word? Because of all he calls us to do. Right? I don't want you to come away from this thinking that, oh, the goal of life is to stop doing and just to sit and listen. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not saying that a contemplative life of quiet worship should replace an active life of work and service. Jesus is not saying that we should isolate ourselves like a monk in a monastery and commune with God. That's not what he's talking about. He's not saying that the goal of life is to spend all day praying and reading the Bible. That's not what he's talking about. He's not saying that it's unnecessary to work and to serve and to study and to play and to rest and to visit and to eat. Rather, what he's doing, he's teaching the priority and the peace of our relationship with him in the busyness of life. In other words, as we love our neighbor, as we pursue an active life of doing good works in this world, what matters most is Jesus. What we were saying earlier, Jesus be at the center. What matters most is him. We need to center our hearts and our lives on him. A counselor by the name of Ed Welsh puts it like this. He says that the goal for a follower of Jesus is not obedience. It's not doing what God commands, but that fellowship bound up with worship, praise, and downright enjoyment is what we are after. The goal is not obedience. Obedience is merely the means to fellowship. Fellowship is what we're after. We need a calm center of fellowship with Jesus in the frantic pace of our whirlwind life. And it's only there that we find that peace, that joy that Jesus gives to us. When the demands pile up, do you really listen to Jesus? Or has the self-worth and significance that comes from your responsibilities become a substitute for a close relationship with him? Do you fill your days with what needs to get done, but fail to fellowship with the Lord? When Jesus rebuked Martha, it was a gentle rebuke. Martha, Martha, is not an exasperated expression. It's an expression of compassion. And I'm so glad that Jesus knows our nature and that he corrects us because he loves us. I can identify with Martha. God is so good to give us work to do. And God is so good to give us opportunities to serve. And God is so good to give us talents and abilities to use for the sake of others, of our family, of our friends, of our community, of our church. God is so good to give us all of those things. It's easy to take all of that and to make that the most important thing. And to be distracted from Jesus. In our busy lives, we all need to cultivate a closer fellowship with Jesus, to receive from him the words of life, to receive from him hope and joy and peace and love. At the start of this message, I said there was a connection between this story and the parable of the Good Samaritan. There's another connection here. It says in verse 38 that Jesus and his disciples were on their way. What that little statement does is that it sets this narrative in the context of the central section of Luke, which begins in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it says, as the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. All of this central section of Luke, what it does is it tells us that Jesus is on his way to the cross. Jesus' mission is to go to the cross, where he will die for our sins, take the judgment of God on himself because of our rebellion against God, so that he can provide forgiveness of sins for us, so that he can give to us life and joy and peace. That little statement in verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, reminds us, this is what the central section of Luke is about. And it reminds us that the one that we sit at the feet of, as it were, the one that we listen to, the one that we cherish, the one that we love, is the crucified and risen Christ. We come to this one who's died for us so that we might have life. If you've never come to him, come to him today. If you know him, abide in him. Rest in him. Because ultimately, in the busyness, in the hecticness, in the fragmented world in which we live, it is the wholeness of the risen Lord. It is the wholeness of the crucified one who gave himself for us. It's in him that we find our wholeness. It's in him that we find our peace. Come and listen to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I so identify with Martha, and probably many of your people do as well. We're busy. We're just crazy busy at times. So many demands on our time, on our energy, on our resources, pulled in so many different directions. Thank you that you are at the center. Help us, O God, to continually come back to that calm center. Help us in the busyness of life and all that you call us to do. Help us to sit and listen. May we be sustained by your word. May we draw strength and joy and purpose and meaning from you. I thank you so much that you invite us, you draw us into your gracious presence. Thank you for your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite Pierre to come and lead us.